B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv, Twitch app. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app at your app store, listen to our show live, listen to the podcast, all those things. Rich, what do we got going here?
So we were talking about how there was a discussion on these older games that they show clips from now. Like, hey, if you remember, you know, back in 1990, whatever, this happened. They would show the clip on TV and it would be like super grainy and just awful looking. And I'm like, I don't remember TV ever looking that bad. So I kind of just started looking at some old games online. And, you know, there are certain video clips that are out there that are not just old like Celtics games, but it's the entire broadcast from front to back with commercials and everything. And there is nothing better than the golden age of commercial jingles from back in like the 80s. And like John, you know, I could imagine like, you know, Johnny Wallach sitting in with his gigantic glasses, you know, with his magic, you know, it's like a book in front of his Dungeons and Masters guide and watching,
dude,
I don't know, an old
John's so
game.
Old that he went to, like, he'll talk about shows and he saw Houdini and Run DMC in Worcester.
No,
in 1984.
Providence Civic Center.
In Providence,
Run DMC, Houdini, like, and the Fat Boys.
Without parents. Like, yep. Without parents.
That's right.
In
awesome.
1984.
Yep.
So, John, this is...
John saw, like, the first real rap tour.
Yeah.
They without his parents.
Oh, yeah.
Because my parents made me for Christmas. My mom took my old concert t-shirts and made, like, some frame thing of them. It's whatever. I don't really like it. But it's like Licensed to Ill Tour 1987, like Judas Priest 1986, like it's the in the Def Leppard the Pyromania tour, and Johnny Wallgame's just there with his buddies, like driving out to Providence to see the first rap, because that's gotta be the first like arena rap show that has to be.
Who is it? Fat Boys,
Boys, Houdini, and Run DMC. And
there's no question.
Run DMC was just starting to really take off.
There's no question because Run DMC is essentially the first rap superstars. Like, yeah. I mean, they were big rap bands.
They were great in concert too.
But they were the crossover MTV. Like, they blew up, and MTV at the time wasn't playing a lot of black artists, and Run DMC blows up. So I mean, that was a big deal. So that's pretty funny. I mean, John cashed his social security check to go to that.
Yes, indeed. I mean, John was like, it's like John and Crash, man. Like, Crash is at Loverboy shows in 1984.
Who needs a bar mitzvah when you got the Run DMC concert to go to? So, John, this would be almost specifically for you, because I was watching some of these old games and I was just thinking, dude, commercials back in the day used to rule. Like, they used to take time to make these like really like cool, like, and I'm talking like local businesses would have these super jingles that would stick in your head. So, John, this is from, I think, the year. It's early 80s. It doesn't say specifically which one it is. Okay. All right? And these are all local businesses, okay? So I want to see how long it takes into this commercial for you to tell me what business it is. All right? I have beeped out the name of the business, okay?
Yeah.
So, once again, this is when you were like 45?
Yeah.
Like early 80s?
Yeah, okay. I just got my AARP card in the mail.
All right. So, Fred, all right. Play the first clip, and I want to see how long it takes for you to name what business this is. Go.
We like your style, wherever you work, whatever you do, whatever it is that makes you, you.
At the We Like Your Style. That's why we offer a whole range of banking services to match it. See how our style of banking fits your style of life.
Here at the We Like Your Style.
Is it John? Is it Bay Bank?
No, that is not Bay Bank.
What is it?
That would be the First National Bank. By the way, Tracy, can you give him Fred the order that I wanted to play these in?
All right.
If you wouldn't mind, Tracy. No, that is the First National Bank.
That's I never would have gotten that. No.
Okay, all right. Because you tuned out on the National
Bank.
Yes,
I did.
Ones.
I was like,
all right,
know.
Well, here's one you definitely wouldn't have tuned out on. Okay. Tracy, can you make sure he plays the one that's in the order there? All right, here
all
we
right,
go.
All right, here we go. She's coming into the studio now, and I have it. All right. You want me to do the first one? All right. Oh, she had him in order. I played him out of order. All right, here we go. Here you go, Johnny.
We'll give you that feeling, a good, happy feeling.
The roller coaster capital of New England, featuring the exciting Loop Coaster. Take Mass Pike to Exit 6, Springfield, Massachusetts. Now open weekends.
New England's largest amusement park.
Is that Kennedy Lake?
No.
Or six, whatever Six Flags is now. I don't know what it is.
You're hearing in your right ear.
No. Was it Agawam, Riverside wasn't Park. It? Wasn't it an Agawam?
Yeah, I think it was Agawam.
Okay, see, this should be going these. To Dan knows it better than I do.
Because I pay attention and listen, John. I'll play along, Rich.
All right, Dan should know these. Come
John
on.
Was knee-deep into a Beckett's at that point.
Damn right. The commercials, are, you know, the black and white TV volume got turned down so we could play more D&D.
John was just sitting. He was still having fireside chats around the radio at that point.
Yeah. All right. Now, this one, sometimes you get a little hungry. Let's take a listen.
Come on and taste a real good time. Come on and bring the family down to. It doesn't cost a lot to taste the best we've got. Everything's fresh here. Menu's the best here. Come on and taste a real good time at
in Andover, Saugus, Braintree, and Newton.
Ooh, it's a Newton.
I don't know. I suck at this game.
Dan
I have
knows.
No idea. Dan.
You know what? I only got it because of the end of the jingle where they said the locations were. There was one off of Route 93 in Andover, giant sign, not as big as like the Hilltop sign. Come on. And then there was one in Braintree that turned into, I think, Hilltop South.
I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Valley Steakhouse.
That's it.
Nice job, Daniel.
Rich, if you go through Detroit, first of all, you'll see everything that the Detroiters show on Comedy Central is making fun of. I'll get every one of them.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I could do the same thing.
I don't know why. I don't know any of these.
Dietrich Furs by the Dietrich family.
I didn't watch enough TV when I was a kid.
All right, John, do you even know 588-2300?
Empire.
Okay, no. So you know that one at least. And that's like a national
one. I got
that's
that
a
one.
National one. I knew
yeah,
that.
That's a all right, so no, Valley's, by the way, they show like the, it's like $6 for all you can eat steak and shrimp. And I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
Well, $6 by then could buy you a Dr. Demento mix.
And we had so many kids in my family that was one of the go-to places. You know, if you were lucky enough to get out and go to dinner.
Get out the picnic table and bring in the O'Briens.
Yeah, the station wagon. Barrel on up 93.
For the O'Briens, that's still a $500 meal because there's 85 in it.
Yeah. You were told what you could order.
What was a bigger birthday treat, going to Valley's or going to Hilltop?
Well, I got to choose when I was younger, and I always chose Hilltop because that to me was just like a monolith. That was, you know,
you had to go
otherworldly.
There.
Yeah,
you had to go there. I agree with that. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see if John, you are 0-3.
If you played anything off of Dr. Demento,
no, I didn't. Yeah, if you play Ray Stevens in the streak, I'm all over it.
This is from a broadcast from it's early '80s, and I don't know exactly what year it is, but it doesn't really matter. Let's take a listen to the next one.
Where do you go?
Because we already played that one accidentally.
I didn't play that one.
John still wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't have gotten it anyway. Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, I didn't play it, but okay. All right. Here we go. Here's the next one.
Breakfast sandwiches. I love them. But there's got to be another way.
There is. We have 5 new breakfast sandwiches.
Like this whole wheat and honey bagel with cheese, fresh egg, and tasty ham.
Just what I've been looking for.
Or this toasted English muffin with a fresh egg, melted cheese, and crisp bacon.
Try one of our 5 new breakfast sandwiches. We make them fresh and...
Now that's a breakfast sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is that really Dunkin' Donuts? I have no idea.
Yes, it was Dunkin' Donuts. Congratulations.
No idea.
Talking about English muffins at Dunkin' Donuts.
It was the very local Dunkin' Donuts
No
commercial.
Idea what that is.
Dan?
I honestly don't know.
It was the music in the background that was the jingle, but that was a Friendly's commercial.
Okay.
Friendly's was always ice cream.
Yeah,
if they had said something about a sundae to finish it off.
Well,
happy
of
ending.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this next one.
All right, you have it, Dan. I don't have it.
No. You, there should be five in there.
I know, and I've played. You told me I replayed one. I've played five now. I've played R, V, B, F, F, N, B, and then there's one in wide orbit.
I think I have it.
All right, here we go. You got to know that.
Channel 4?
Hey! There you go. I even left the 4 in there. I'm like, if he doesn't get this one.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Bob LaBelle would pop in with sports, and all would be right with the world. Yep.
All right. Well, listen, it's 90210. That's when he started really paying attention to television.
Yeah.
Because the man, he had too much to do. He had too much to do.
No, I'm surprised.
There was Stat-O-Matic that had to be getting going on.
Stat-O-Matic was important back then, yes.
Yeah, he had all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, for Touch Rich on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. There is breaking news on the screen. It just says breaking news. It doesn't say what it is.
Well, I can tell you what the news is. Adam Schefter currently on screen. I can tell you that Jacksonville and Urban Meyer met yesterday, and according to Schefter, the two sides are in advanced talks.
Oh,
so now instead of Meyer backing off, it appears that this is going to happen. That Urban Meyer is the next head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Those
what a
Northern
job.
Florida, I'm telling you, how far is it from Gainesville to Jacksonville? Not far, right?
No, very close. I mean, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
I'm just saying, you know, he spent all that time in Florida. Jacksonville will open their arms and embrace him.
Yeah, so there you go. I guess when Shad Khan crapped the bed and scared off all the real coaches, he had to get Urban Meyer to appease the fan base because they'll remember him, of course, from his time at Florida. So there you go. They're good. A bad coach is off the board.
Did you see that article that Tara Sullivan of The Globe put out there about why isn't Josh McDaniels getting any head coaching interviews?
Yeah, it's everything that we've ever said.
Is talking about.
He's a jackass. He ruined his career.
And now he's not even the in guy. Gerard Mayo's the in guy off the staff.
No, he's aged himself out. Yeah. And the thing is,
at 44, by the way.
Well, the thing is,
he's aged himself out.
And the thing is because not because the candidates are necessarily younger than him, is because he had his turn. Now he's old in terms of the cycles.
Well, his window is it's a window.
Right,
thing. It's
like,
not even the age. It's like
no,
that's
what I just said.
Hot thing for a while.
No, it's a cycle. It's a coaching cycle, and that's the same thing as if you're a big actor at the age of 17. And you burn out, there could be an actor that's 10 years older than you that starts getting roles because they haven't gone through it all over before. So, yeah, and every year that goes by without Tom Brady is going to weaken his position.
His last chance was really this season. If somehow the Patriots offense has succeeded and they went 11-5 and Cam Newton was revitalized and
I still
it a different way, I bet you he would have gotten some interviews.
If they would have
made
the offense work without Tom Brady, he would have gotten calls.
But now because
he might have gotten a call.
It was just such a spectacular disaster, that's it, the window's
he
closed.
He epitomized the arrogance of that organization, which was he had a false arrogance, non-deserved, I should say, arrogance about him, which really bothered me because it was the height of that Patriots arrogance. And the idea that he thought he was better than one of the... I could understand turning down, like, the Jacksonville job or turning down the Houston job this year. Like, if you were, like, an elite coaching kind of... That's not the right fit, and I like where I am. I'm making a lot of money. Fine. But when you start, like, going, ah, well, that's not good enough for me. Well, the position's never going to be good enough for you, and fine, and they're not going to want you. You screwed yourself. You're arrogant. And by the way, I don't think the Patriots hire him. I don't think that. I think when Belichick retires, there. I mean, who's going to be around at that point? Who knows?
Ted Johnson had a very good point. During the crossover, we were just not the crossover, but when they come in, we were talking about this. He thinks when Bill steps aside, it's going to be Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's going to revitalize his career as the offensive coordinator at Alabama, much like Sarkisian did. He was unhirable, and he all of a sudden got hired as the next head coach of Texas. So now, as the offensive coordinator at Alabama, he's there for a couple of years, a few years.
You can't fail.
He'll replace Bill.
I mean, you can't fail.
Gads. No, you don't want that. And I don't think the Crafts would want that. Well, I know that Bill O'Brien
would know more than you.
But think about the stink that's on you after what went down with the Houston Texans.
It's going to be... worse since he's been gone.
And you also have to remember, when he comes here, he's not going to be GM.
They're not going to hire him
as the GM. They're going to hire somebody else as the GM if they bring him in.
Yeah, it's gotten worse since he's been gone. You're right, he hasn't been gone long. Now he's looking like it's not his fault.
Is his foot in the door why Easterby's there in the first place? Did Bill O'Brien bring in Jack Easterby?
Obviously not.
That brought him in?
Obviously not, because Easterby's power has only increased since Bill O'Brien's been gone. John, go ahead.
Gentlemen, great show. You guys have been awesome during this entire pandemic. My problem with this hire of Urban Meyer is that every time that one of his programs, I don't know, like they find a murderer or
which is all of
shooting
them.
People... Or his assistant coach is beating on his wife. He has a medical issue pops up. Like, you know, his brain hurts and he's got all these things. So now all of a sudden he's fine. I hope Shad Khan got a medical clearance and got everything done, because this guy's an absolute slug who runs away from all his problems.
It's absolutely true, and this is a stunt hire by Shad Khan, who is losing control of that franchise and becoming a rogue owner. And it's fun when you're in Dallas and you have the Cowboys in a 100,000-seat stadium. It's an entirely other thing when you're in a team that plays half their games in London.
By the way, just to add this in, I was reading online yesterday that they had a proposal out to the local state senate about developing the area around the stadium. What's it? It's Altel? Whatever it is. They wanted to tear it up and make it like they have it in Foxborough. They wanted to develop it and put stores in it. And the Jacksonville residents said, nope. We're not giving you the money you need for the infrastructure. And now Khan's like, well, this was one of our last ditch gasps to keep the team in Jacksonville.
Oh, boy, you're going to alienate the five people. Yep. Oh, no.
Hey,
don't
not
move
five.
Them.
Yeah, I mean,
certainly not.
Six. Certainly not five. You got a few people you might piss off.
Good. Let Shad
We're
Khan.
Just playing by the rules.
Where's Shad Khan moving that team to? Where is he going to move the team to?
He's going to move it to London.
Well, London is where he wants it to be.
Good. Yeah. And then you can deal with the logistics of that. That's going to be a nightmare.
But Jacksonville's going to do what Jacksonville does. And I think this is just such a Jacksonville move. And you're right. This is purely, it seems to be a stunt.
No, it's a stunt hire. He's become a rogue owner. He's become a Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones, you know, makes a ton of money because he's in Dallas, and he has a ton of power in the league because he's in Dallas. And Shad Khan's just not going to be that. There's no way. There's no way that it's just not going to work like that. So you can, what's as good if you're a fan of a team in the AFC is you can just erase Jacksonville as having any kind of impact for the next 20 years. So you, if you're worried about Trevor Lawrence being in the AFC, worry no longer, because when Shad Khan pulls, I guarantee you they draft Lawrence and then spend all their free agency money and bring in like Robinson and bring in a Fuller, and those guys just get pissed off day one, and then that whole thing's a disaster. And they put Trevor Lawrence under that. They'll be the Jets South. They can go ahead and enjoy that. So, but the article by Tara Sullivan is absolutely on point. McDaniels screwed himself, and he'll probably never get a head coaching job now.
Well, I mean,
he did it to himself. Good for him with his arrogance, his undeserved arrogance.
The turning down jobs and things like that is one thing. The agreeing to be the head coach of a franchise, getting people to commit to being part of your staff and moving and then saying no. I mean, that's about as unforgivable a thing you can do. And the one thing I'm kind of happy about, because last year it seemed like there was a whiff of people who might not have been a big deal, because there was rumors of him interviewing with teams, but he ended up not even interviewing with him.
No.
It was just the rumor that was out there.
No, there was a rumor Cleveland wanted him, and they hired a coach before they ever talked to him.
He also wanted the Carolina job, which I guess that was kind of floating out there as well.
He never interviewed with him.
He didn't interview with anybody because they hired him right away. They were just like, hey, you know, we're going to go ahead and start hiring.
Yeah, there could be a rumor they're going to interview you, and then when you don't get interviewed, I mean, the Jets have interviewed 9 guys. And they've interviewed one twice. So if you don't get an interview, you're not being considered at all. Aaron Glenn got an interview. Gerard Mayo's has 2 years of coaching experience, and he got an interview. Aaron, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk. I heard you guys talking about Jack Easterby. I was wondering if you guys could maybe explain a little, like, what his history is in the NFL and why he seems so problematic in Houston, and even like the nature of his position. He's not even the official general manager, so I'm just confused about like how this man can cause so many problems. So then
that's the interesting thing, is that he was like a pastor for the Patriots with no kind of personnel experience and no kind of football ops duties that we knew of. Then he goes to Houston, and he's got some kind of power over ownership, obviously, where they're letting him make all the major decisions for the organization. So the owner in Houston's a weird dude, and there's probably some Jesus shenanigans going on over there with the Bible and everything else, that Easterby's got them all under some kind of hypnotic trance.
But did you hear what Andre Johnson wrote on Twitter? That's like, okay, he didn't like mix words. He came right out and called him out, Jack Easterby. His quote was, "Since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened in or for the organization, and for some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on," obviously calling out ownership there. I mean, and you know, this is all on the heels of a gigantic cluster F of things that have been happening, with them doing everything they can to piss off one of the best quarterbacks in the league, Deshaun Watson.
Now there's a lot of rumors about if Deshaun Watson moves, where would he go? And one of the rumors is the Jets.
This is a Miami thing. Everything I'm hearing is
Miami. The Jets have more, and the Jets have better. The Jets have 4 first-round picks that they could give them in higher first-round picks. Hachi to the machi, baby.
But look at him
in the green and white. 25. That's right. The next decade of excellence going on in Jersey.
Well, I mean, if the Jets are smart to try and bring him in and make that trade, but Houston would be just completely stupid to trade Deshaun.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they give up those 4 picks, I'll tell you, he'll have a lot to throw to. He'll be able to throw to every guy with a Jetsons helmet in the history of the league. Every little white guy with a massive helmet. They'll probably get Gunnar Olszewski in there as well. Maybe Houston should bring in like King Diamond or something to bring a little Satan into the building. Have the opposite forces that kind of neutralize each other. You have Easterby, who's a pastor, and then you bring in some like crazy-ass Satanist and let the whole thing go nuts.
By the way, DeAndre Hopkins retweeted Andre Johnson. And it says, "When Dre speak, listen." And Andre Johnson had, "If I'm Deshaun Watson, I stand my ground. That Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers."
Heathens.
Oh, man.
You heed the word of Jack Easterby, and you walk the way of Christ.
Well, Deshaun is not only, because he was upset when DeAndre Hopkins was traded. They said he was definitely upset. But, you know, the report came out that this is the second time they've effed him over, because they told him he was going to have some
kind of say.
They
said he'd have say, and then they didn't listen. They hired a panel of people to get coaching candidates, and they ignored both of them and hired, for GM candidates, and they ignored both of them, and they took Caserio, and it pissed off Hopkins. Or not Hopkins, it picked off Watson, because Watson didn't want any more people from the Patriots organization. That's why it came out so like hardcore that Josh McDaniels was under no even they weren't even looking at him because the Houston leaked it that they didn't had no interest in Josh McDaniels because they didn't want to piss off Watson ever anymore. Because Watson wants no one from the Patriots organization anymore. He didn't like Bill O'Brien. He doesn't like Easterby. He doesn't want, and he hated that they brought Caserio in. So this was not only, if you look at it, not only did they not listen to Watson, they did diametrically the opposite. They hired the one guy he didn't want. He didn't want anyone from the Patriots organization. And so Easterby, because he's got some magic religious juice, some juju to put on the people, and he's got something going on with the owner over there, was able to do exactly what Deshaun Watson didn't want. And so if you think Deshaun Watson is a baby and you're comparing him to these divas in the NBA, he has an excellent point. They came to him. They said, we're going to ask you what you want. He said, fine. And not only did they ignore him, because you could see if he goes, I want so-and-so to be the GM, and they go, okay, we'll take that under advisement. And then they hire a group. The group comes right back and they go, we have these candidates. And they go, Deshaun, here's our process. We've interviewed these guys. We're really sold on this guy.
Which is
guy.
What they should have done.
And they go, right. And they go, we're really sold on this guy. And he goes, okay, fine. And then you can go, Deshaun, you're not the owner. You don't get to pick the GM.
But at least you're part of the process.
But if they go, what do you think? And he goes, don't hire anyone from the Patriots. And they go, okay. And they hire someone from the Patriots because Deshaun Watson doesn't like the Easterby situation. That's obvious. And now he just sees it getting worse. So they just completely screwed him. So I think Deshaun Watson could be headed out of Houston, definitely, because they it's all kinds of weirdness going on over there, and they did the one thing he asked them not to do. He didn't want anyone from the Patriots.
It's amazing.
And out of all the GMs, and by the way, with the Patriots personnel moves, Caserio's no like home run, and they're paying the guy $20 million. It's not for $20 million. Think of who you could have gotten. You could have gotten anybody. You could have gotten anybody.
Well, weren't they already in the middle of hiring the guy from, was it the Steelers?
Yeah, Omar Khan. Yes.
Yeah, they were in the middle of negotiating a contract. Like, it had been agreed to that this was going to happen, and it was basically devils in details, and then all of a sudden they swept in a guy, Nick Caserio.
Right.
So, I mean, so that's weird, too. Just everything about that organization is so wrong.
It's Easterby, man. I'm telling you, it's like an evangelical thing. I'm not lying either. I'm not being a smartass.
I think you're right.
John, go ahead.
The Game of Thrones comparison in that article was perfect. He's like Littlefinger. He's whispering in everyone's ear, and he's controlling the game.
It's got a religious thing happening, and I'm telling you it does. And I'm not being sarcastic. John, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I disagree with what you're saying about Watson with not wanting to be a part of any of the Patriots coaching tree, because it's saying his preferred destination is Miami, and Brian Flores is a big part of the Patriots coaching.
Yeah, but he's proven himself in Miami is what the situation is there. And I don't even know if he wants to go to Miami. I just know Miami is a destination that people have picked out.
That's the report, is that he would want to go there.
Well, and also the report is he didn't want anyone from the Patriots organization.
See, I never heard that. I never heard he did specifically. That could be true, but I just never heard that.
He didn't like his experience with Bill O'Brien. He doesn't like Jack Easterby. He thinks Easterby has too much power. Easterby's from the Patriots organization, and the hiring of Caserio was diametrically opposite of what he wanted to happen.
It's kind of like winning the lottery. You have a lottery ticket in your hand and lighting it on fire. People spend their entire careers, general managers, front office people in the National Football League, some spend their entire careers trying to find a franchise quarterback like Deshaun Watson. And you have it. He landed in your lap, and he's playing for you despite all the screw-ups in the last 5 years, all the bad trades you've made, all the bad front office hires you've made. Here he is. He's there. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for one of the worst teams in the NFL, and you spent your last 6 months pissing him off.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
All right. I'm telling you, there's some kind of Ossoff or whatever, some kind of evangelical thing going on over there that is no bueno. People get weird when that stuff starts getting introduced. All right, Danny Ainge is going to join us. He will join us at 9 o'clock. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm sick of the NHL. This season has gone to hell. We all want to scream and yell because there are no games. Why can't they just get it done? Hockey games are so much fun. We suffer in the long run because there are no games. We're sick of waiting. Pissed off, we are hating. The pain it's creating. What the hell are these guys thinking? Hey, I love hockey, and this is crazy. But end this lockout. Play hockey, maybe. It's hard to live with. Out you hockey. But end this lockout. Play hockey, maybe. Hey, I love hockey, and this is crazy. But end this lockout. Play hockey, maybe. And all the Bruins fans are very angry. So end this lockout. Play hockey, maybe.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We were talking about Houston and Jack Easterby. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I had an opportunity a couple years ago to attend a men's leadership conference, and it was faith-based.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Easterby was the keynote speaker. You know, it's been interesting. I found nothing truly special about him. I mean, I basically found in his message was seize the day, and you know, he was trying to be.
Someone should copyright that. Someone should run with that phrase. Seize the day. Don't count your chickens as well is something that they say. So what goes on at the religious men leadership conference? How many days is this?
It was just a single day.
Oh, okay.
To be quite honest, it was a good experience. I mean, it was really kind of just an opportunity to see where you're at and recharge your batteries. But I would say that Easterby was nothing more than a little bit of a hype man. He was knowledgeable about the Bible, but nothing in the way that I saw in regards to special or having any kind of unique traits when it came to running an NFL franchise.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he's done something to seduce the owner of the Houston Texans. There's something about him.
It's fascinating. I mean, not just him. I mean, the way he kind of moved up in the ranks of respect, even with the Patriots, you know, and then for him to just go over there. And you remember he left because of his moral objections to what happened in Florida with Robert Kraft. And all of a sudden he's over there and he just takes over. He's the guy calling the shots.
Yes.
And he doesn't have a football background. Like, this is all, I mean, what he does is he is basically the chaplain, the team chaplain. Yeah. which
I didn't even know teams still had. I didn't even know. It's like MASH.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that teams still had chaplains. What the hell do they do?
Yep. You know the guy who married us. You were at my wedding, but he does the prayer on game day for the team, for the Atlanta Falcons, when he's over there and does that. And
if you're not into it? What do you? What's the deal with that? Why do they have it?
You can choose not to.
No, I know, but just attend. Listen, I don't care if they do it or not. If people are into it, God bless you. I don't believe me. I don't care.
A lot of teams just have a mass for players, like a small mass, like if on game day, like if they have a Sunday game day, they've got one for them.
My friend, my best friend, because I'm 46 almost and have a best friend. He was good friends with a guy that was on special teams for the Lions. And it's funny that you mentioned that the team chaplain for that team, and it was when Kitna was quarterback, he like completely fractured the team. There was like the Kitna crew, and remember Kitna used to go to press conferences with like the cross hat on, and he was like super Bible guy, and if you weren't like, and his wife would have these Bible classes at his house, like once a week, and if you weren't in that crew, you were ostracized, and it like broke the team in two.
Well, that's weird because, I mean, just the amount of influence these guys have, because as I said, the priest who married us, he shows up on Sunday, does his thing, and leaves. And I don't think that that is a regular thing with organizations. They just have someone constantly around the team. And that's why this whole thing is even extra strange to me. I can understand wanting the guy to be around and him being influential as far as being somebody that, you know, players want to speak with, but running the football operations of your team is,
well, it's not hard to understand how it happened. He has somehow seduced the owner. He has somehow made the owner think that he is some kind of, you know, guru, and the owner is blindly following him, much to the detriment of their organization. The something's going on with the owner where he's got the Bible in his eyes and he's seeing things in a way that the rest of the NFL is not seeing. That is, I mean, it happens. People get into that. I'm just, a team chaplain, I would imagine that I'd never even hear about him except for the Lions that time. I mean, it would seem that that's a very specialized thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, it seems like they wouldn't be around every day either. I don't know why you would. It's not your responsibility as an owner or of a business owner. There's not a Beasley team, Beasley chaplain that comes in and, you know, is hanging around the stations all day. I mean, it seems like something that a lot of teams probably wouldn't even have. So, yeah, it seems like a nothing thing.
It just seems like everything is lining up for the Deshaun Watson to get traded to Miami, because now there was a report that came out yesterday that I guess the team, you know, of course, hidden sources, no one's coming out publicly and saying it, but there was a report that teammates of Tua do not want him to be the quarterback.
That doesn't line up for a trade to Miami at all. That's a
sure
one
it does.
No, it doesn't.
It makes it so Miami might try to pick up the phone
of
and go,
course
hey.
They yeah, but they also have the third pick in the draft. Miami wants a quarterback. One way or another, Tua is probably not the quarterback for that team. But that doesn't increase Houston's wanting to get him.
No. I said increase Miami's wanting to make a phone call to Houston.
They're going
to
make a phone call anyway. Every 25 teams are going to make a phone call to Houston to get a quarterback. How many teams aren't going to want him? Green Bay, Kansas City. I mean, there's how many teams? 5-6 teams that wouldn't want Deshaun Watson to be their quarterback?
Buffalo's not going to want him Friday.
That's right. You got to keep Joshy right where he is.
Got themselves a star.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if Josh plays well, if Josh Allen plays well on Sunday, and they beat Baltimore, and he plays well, and then I'll have to rethink my stance on him.
But okay,
I think the chances of that happening are very, very slim. Very, very slim.
Why? He's done all year is play well for the most part.
If you've watched him, he has had many a game. Nah.
I have
many
watched
a
him.
Game where he has, and he tried to lose that game for him last week too.
He had like what, two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown?
I understand. I have the box score.
His passing was like over 70%. I mean, he's like really good.
Yes, and he also took a 25-yard
sack. In what way was his performance bad?
He stayed in the pocket. He got about a 25-yard sack. He fumbled the ball to put Indianapolis in a position to win. He didn't play particularly well in the first half, but he did enough to win. I mean, they won at home against a wild card team, and now we'll see how they do. They got Baltimore at home. Game they should win, a game they're favored in, and we'll see how they do.
I don't know, man. I he's winning me over. I hate to say it because I
all right. Well, then it's too late.
Over.
You can't go back and forth. So if you can beat you were off his train. If you jump on now, you can't jump off again.
Why not?
Because you'll have been wrong twice. You only get to be wrong once.
Okay.
No, you can't. Your opinion then your opinion means nothing.
He's winning me over.
Well, okay. If he's won you over, that's fine.
I said winning.
But then your opinion will mean nothing.
I was on your island, but now I'm looking kind of for a raft.
Your opinion will be absolutely nothing.
No, I reserve if he craps himself this weekend, I reserve the right to stay on the
island.
Then
there's no point of saying anything. Then you're just reporting fact.
Winning me over. Look, I believe that Josh Allen, up until this season, has done absolutely nothing to instill confidence in anyone. But he has, if you look at the numbers, had a long period of sustained excellence.
This is third season.
This is like only a couple years in.
Well, there's two seasons. Two seasons where he didn't play well. In college, where he was
nothing. We're getting to the period of time, and this goes back to your point, we're getting to the period of time where it's time to play well under very difficult circumstances. The Baltimore defense is very, very good. And if he carves that team up,
in the playoffs to get to the AFC Championship game, I'm off the island.
Right. If he plays, that's what I said. If he plays well, then you got to hand it to him. He's played pretty well.
But
in
I don't know what your
games.
Standard of playing well is, because he played well this weekend, and you don't think he did.
He did. He did a Josh Allen. He did his best to lose that game at the end.
There were periods of time at the end of the game where he struggled under important circumstances.
Yes. But he was part of the reason they won that game. Like, one of the main parts
of the
reason.
Yes, he's the quarterback of the team, Rich. I realize that. But if you're unaware that he, again, had a fumble that was one kicked ball away from him losing that game.
But they didn't lose.
Yes, because he got lucky.
That had nothing to do with Josh Allen.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with Josh Allen.
But then, guys, once again, I don't know.
Yes, Rich, he is the quarterback of the team. I understand that. And
he played extremely well.
Not extremely, but I can't lay out to you anymore what my opinion is. I just told you. At the end of games, I just told you how.
Okay, well, I'm telling you how. Well, then I'm telling you why he had a good game.
Yes, yes, I understand. You've given me the statistics. By watching him, I think that he's an incredibly flawed player. And at the end of the game, as he has in the two games against the Jets, he tried to throw those games away, that he is a flawed quarterback. And I'm the one who gets the tweets every time that he completes a pass about how fantastic he is. I understand that. But and we'll see. I have a feeling he's going to play like crap in Baltimore, and they could win despite him.
Baltimore. I think they're playing in Buffalo
against Baltimore. Of course, they're playing in Buffalo. Yeah. But whatever, Rich. I mean, let's not split hairs. But he is. Yeah, I think that he's an incredibly flawed quarterback, and he's won a playoff game, and that's a nice first step. But this is the 2 seed in the AFC, and we'll see how he shows improves on Sunday.
I can't wait for that game. Out of all the games,
unfortunately, it's on
the New Orleans.
Everything in New Orleans is sad.
The New Orleans one is the one.
Everything in that
dome.
They're
both great.
Everything in that dome just looks sad.
It's like musty and kind of gross. Yeah, it's not the best.
Dude, the
power went out during the Super Bowl in that building.
It's Sunday night, and everything is just sad about it.
They're a defensive team. They're not exciting to watch.
They're so boring, and I don't even know if the BYU kid's going to be able to play.
It's starting to remind me of the trop of the NFL.
Yes.
Like where the Rays play. Just you watch and you're like, yo,
especially
man.
With like the no fans, it's just it's just depressing. A Sunday night, you know, you got to get up the next morning, and then it's just, you know, you've already watched three football games, and then it's just all right. Danny Ainge is going to join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.